turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 9. Jonah 2, 9. Jonah is in the belly of a whale. Been there 3 days. He makes this confession. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvations of the Lord. The prophet Jonah, being brought to bow to the sovereign hand of God Almighty, says this: I'm going to honor you with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm going to pay what I vowed, a life, a walk of obedience. I want to walk after you. And then he says, and I declare this for one reason. By your grace, you've taught me something. Salvation belongs to the Lord. When he said salvation is of the Lord, that's what he said. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah declared, salvation, Lord, is totally yours. None beside you share in the procuring of it, of the bestowing of it, or the maintenance of it. And the scripture says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah had spoken rightly. You're right. Salvation belongs to God. Don't you love it that way? Aren't you glad that you're not trying to maintain your salvation? Now, we talk a lot about salvation. I'm going to try to be very, very brief. We talk a lot. There's salvation, saved. But in preparing this message, and I've entitled this message, When is a Man Saved? When? But in preparing this message, I dealt a few minutes ago with what does it mean to truly believe? Well, I want to just deal with right now in dealing with when is a man saved. What does the Scripture say that salvation is? That's a good question. Before you ask when is a man saved, how about what? What is it? Luke 2. The Scripture sets forth concerning salvation. And here again, I want us to see what God has to say. What does God say that salvation is? Luke 2:25-32. Luke 2:25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, for the comfort of Israel. He's waiting on God to send the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now here's what he's waiting for. Here's who he's waiting for. He's waiting for the comfort of Israel. He's waiting for the comfort of God's spiritual Israel. Truly. He's waiting for the Lord's Christ. The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, revealed to him, you're not going to die until I show you the Messiah. And the Scripture says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they were there to circumcise the Lord Jesus. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So when we say, what is salvation? Scripture, first of all, says that salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a person. A person. Isaiah 49:6, here's Jehovah speaking to the Christ and says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Salvation is Christ. That's what Scripture said. My eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation, because the salvation of God's elect is in his hands. That's what Jonah said. Lord, salvation belongs to you. Salvation is procured by him. He's the author, the finisher, the merit of salvation. Salvation, first of all, is a person. Secondly, salvation is revealed to be an enlightenment, a spiritual enlightenment as to who God is. John 13:3. Here's the high priestly prayer of our Lord. John 17:3. Here's our Lord speaking as he's praying. And he says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal. This is salvation. That they who, well, verse 2 says, as many as thou hast given him, that they, God's elect, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Salvation is said to be a person. Salvation is said to be a revelation of the knowledge of who God is. Who is he? He's God. Sovereign God. Who is God? He's the Father that elected a people from before the foundation of the world. He's God who redeemed his elect, the Son. And he's God, the Holy Spirit, who regenerates everyone that the Father chose and the Son redeemed, the Spirit. This is life eternal. That they may know thee, the only true God. That all agree in one, three persons, not three gods, three persons, one God. Thirdly, salvation is revealed through David, King David, to be an object of God's covenant grace. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 23:5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. That last, although he make it not to grow, he's saying this, salvation is complete in you and there's no room for any addition. That's what he's saying. Here's all my salvation God made with me, David said. In covenant grace, you chose, Father, to show mercy to me. Christ Jesus died for me. You say, well, he died for him. He hadn't even died yet. The Father saw him slain from the foundation of the world and trusted in him. The Spirit of God called him out. And then fourthly, salvation is revealed to be a marvelous work of God in Christ, whereby, and this is salvation. What is it? I'm going to preach on when, but this is what it is. It's a person. It's a revelation of the character of who God is. It's a knowledge of God's covenant, mercy, and grace. And fourthly, it's a work of God whereby the Spirit of God reveals that God's people have been delivered from the guilt of sin. The Lord Jesus, having borne the debt, he was made sin for God's elect at Calvary. And he put away their debt before God's law. What was the debt owed to the law of God? The wages of sin is death. What did he pay? Himself. He died. For who? For his elect. And he finished the work. Paid for. And now, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Do you know what that means, to walk not after the flesh? It means to trust in your self-righteous works, that you are justified before God. That's what it means to walk after the flesh. That's what the flesh believes, that I have a free will. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the revelation of God's Spirit, that salvation is of the Lord. Delivered from the guilt of sin. Delivered, secondly, from the power of sin. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You know, whenever you go somewhere and you see a building, maybe a restaurant was there, kind of run down, you know. You see this sign under new management. You know what? As a new boss here. You know, you understand that, you know. The presence of sin is still there, but it doesn't rule anymore. Sin shall not have dominion. Sin is dethroned. It's there. And it wars against the law of our new man, new mind. It's there, but it does not rule. It doesn't have dominion. Believers are those that walk by faith. They walk by faith, believing God. Delivered from the power of sin, dominion of sin, the guilt of sin. And then we'll soon be delivered from the very presence of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:55. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start in 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, the Apostle Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die physically. There will be some remaining when the Lord Jesus comes back. But we shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. The dead that died in Christ, that sleep in Christ, they're going to come out of the ground, and they're going to be raised incorruptible. They went incorruptible. Watch this. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We're going to be changed. We're going to be released from the very presence of sin. I've told you everything I know about it. Right there. That's what the Word of God says. So, having considered what salvation is, a person, a knowledge of the character of God, a release from the dominion of sin, and an understanding of God's covenant grace. So, I want to say three quick things about when is a man saved. When? First of all, salvation is set forth in Scripture. And you cannot, these all stand or fall together. You don't separate these. These are all true. Salvation is said, first of all, to be eternal. Eternal. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul was saying, don't be ashamed of the gospel of God's grace, God's Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. Nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now listen to this. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now you notice the order. We've looked at that before. Who has saved us and called us. And when was that given to us? The Scripture says, given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Salvation. According to God's will and God's purpose, God who is eternal, the eternal God, salvation was established. And God's counsel is going to stand. God Almighty saved His people in His eternal electing grace before they were ever brought into this world. They were in Christ. How secure are they in Christ who has saved us? Now that's scriptural language. And called us according to His purpose. Revelation 13:8 says, the Father ever beheld the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the Father's absolute omniscience, He knows all things. He beheld the debt of redemption eternally satisfied before Christ ever came into this world physically. The Father saw Him. God Almighty eternally chose us in Christ the Son. That's what Ephesians 1:4 said. Who hath chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children, adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us not acceptable, but accepted in the Beloved. When? Before the foundation of the world. Salvation is eternal, according to God's will and God's purpose. Secondly, salvation is said to occur in time. Back in 2 Timothy, you've already turned up. I won't make you turn back there. But 2 Timothy, I'll read the next verse when it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. The next verse says, in verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Our Lord, I say it happens in time, in eternity. He saved us, called us. In time, our Lord was passing through Jericho and came to a sycamore tree. And there was this little fella up in the sycamore tree. Short guy. And he was sitting up there, perched up there. You know, important fella. He was a tax collector. He was a publican. The Lord in Luke 19:5 came to the place and He looked up and He saw him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today I must abide at thy house. Why? Verse 9 of Luke 19 says, this day is salvation come to this house. This day is salvation. Salvation walked under that tree. That's what Simeon said. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation himself walked up to that tree and looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you come down. Salvation has come this day, today. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Well, there was a bunch of sons of Abraham around there. They were all Jews. Yeah, but I'm not talking about natural lineage. I'm talking about spiritual sons of Abraham. I'm not talking about sons of Abraham after the flesh. I'm talking about sons of Abraham after the Spirit. This man is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Papers in his hand. The Lord stopped him. Jesus of Nazareth stopped him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Now that was not just a nobody, know-nothing guy. Saul of Tarsus, probably one of the most spiritually informed, smartest guys concerning the Scriptures. He was a Pharisee. Of Pharisees. He taught Pharisees. He taught Pharisees who thought they knew everything, Mitch. And Saul of Tarsus was a professor of Pharisees. And the Lord called him and he said, Who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth that you're persecuting. You go into Damascus. I'm going to tell you where to go. I'll tell you. It'll be showed you. And the Lord called a preacher, Ananias, and said, You go talk to one called Saul. He's over in Simon the Tanner's house. And Ananias said, Lord, we've heard of him. And the Lord said, He's a chosen vessel unto me. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias went in there and he said, Brother Saul. Salvation occurs in time, as to our understanding. Eternally purposed, eternally in the eyes of God Almighty, in time. But then thirdly, salvation is that which shall occur. Matthew 24:13 says, But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Though tempted and tried, troubled, on every hand, we persevere. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures here, and then I'm going to stop. But I got a question before I go any farther. If Almighty God has truly, savingly regenerated a sinner, is there any possibility that that sinner is going to be lost? No. No. Why? Because the Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Salvation is so. It's in Christ. And where God Almighty has put us, Brother Scott, you say, where God put us, that's where God kept us. Secure. Secure. What's the evidence that God Almighty has truly called out of darkness a man or a woman, saved them by grace? What's the evidence of it? They stay. They stay. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not that the man's endurance is according to his own ability. Like I said, you leave it up to me, I'm gone. I'll leave today if it's up to me. But that I'm kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Enduring to the end is the evidence of it. We hold faithfully. Because we're in His hand. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That word means finish it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. We must endure. There's no doubt about it. Somebody say, well, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. We must endure. But thanks be unto God, it's not in our power. Our Lord promised
I keep you.
I give you life. Never going to perish. We're living right now out. Believers are living out right now what God has eternally ordained and performed in them. He's done something in them. And let me tell you, when the final, just turn with me, last scripture, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let me tell you when the last, here's the last glorious exhibition. When I said when is a man saved, he's saved eternally. He's saved in time. And I'm telling you, oh, in that great day, the day of the Lord, that great, glorious day of judgment when God Almighty is going to settle and openly display His mercy and grace. Listen to this. In that day, we're going to be saved. Listen, Matthew 25, 31, 34. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. Like I said before, all sheep's always been sheep. All the goats always been goats. He's going to put His sheep on His right hand, goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When is a man going to be saved? When is a man saved? He's saved eternally. He's saved in time. And He's going to be saved forever. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.